Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Harris, right field. The wall's 12 feet. It's over that wall. A home run for Buddy Mike. And the Braves get a 4-2 lead here in the ninth. A little insurance.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
Here's a first down handoff to right. He finds a little running room. There he goes. Midfield. They ain't going to get him, baby. 20-10. Touchdown. Seahawks. 69 yards, Jacardier right.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Happy Monday. Hope your weekend was good.
What is happening?
It's nice to be in today. Thanks for hanging with Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1. A lot to get to. It's a busy little program, nice little weekend.
Lots going on, man.
Did you...
Football's back this week, baby.
Well,
it's back.
It's back this week.
It's back this week.
I thought you were going to say this weekend.
Nah, we're back. We're back, baby. Saturday.
I don't eat the wiener.
You wake up Saturday morning, you know what's on your TV?
Ho, ho, ho.
Football that counts.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Now, does it matter? I don't know.
Right, yes.
It counts. The winner of that game's a winner. The loser of that game's a loser. They count.
Good to see you survived your baby shower.
We're here. We're still standing.
Still standing.
It was, baby shower day yesterday was delightful.
How'd it go?
It was wonderful.
What was better, one or two? Wait for that question when they're both of age. Dad, who's your favorite? Wyatt or me?
It is funny how much less of a deal the second one feels like. We're very, very excited. But the pomp and circumstance isn't quite what it is for the first one. Once you go through the first rodeo, It's kind of like, all right, we know what we're doing here. Baby shower was great. It was great to see family. There were a lot of things that we got that were very useful and quality gifts, okay? Some very practical things.
Oh, you're teeing something up here.
That are, you know, like a diaper pail. You got to have that, right? Got to have the diaper pail. A little sound machine, right? That comes in handy.
Yeah.
Attachments for the stroller.
Do you not have these things?
We have one. We don't have two. We got to have two. You got to have one in each room. So, you know, a lot of things that came in that were very, very handy that we could put to use with child number two. Young Wyatt seems to still be the leader in the clubhouse. The only downside, I feel like I do a very good job of feigning excitement over gifts that I receive that I don't like. Like, you get a lot of experience that in life when you open something up and you're like, oh, I'm never going to wear this. But, you know, it's the holidays. Oh, no, I love it. It looks great. Yeah, I think it'll fit. I'll try it on later. I have such a hard time feigning excitement over baby clothes and kid clothes because you immediately know the second you open them, like, we're not going to wear that one. That one's not going to be in the rotation. The idea of dressing a baby was something that I didn't fully comprehend until I had a baby, and you realize how difficult it is to, like, prop them up, get the shirt over the
head. It's all buttons.
I mean, it's all, like, yeah, right? And so what we ended up doing with Teddy Ballgame when he was that age, he basically was in PJs every, like, the zip-up PJs.
Yeah.
Because you can lay them on the ground.
They're comfortable.
You put the arms in. They're comfy, right? You can cover the feet if it gets a little chilly. It's perfect. And you zip them up, and it's easy to go. And so every time we open, and like women and baby clothes are just a combination. It's like a super El Nino, man. And if you give them the reason to go buy baby clothes, they're going to take that opportunity. And so a lot of clothes came in yesterday, which we didn't necessarily need, but it was a lot of fun.
Okay, so, all right. You're being very nice because I think you're worried about what's going to be said about this.
I'm being very kind here.
Why are we getting clothes when you're having another boy?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I would have been absolutely incensed. It's one thing to get maybe two outfits.
Yeah.
It's another for you guys to individually on your own time when your second child is here to go buy your clothes.
Right.
You could have just got cash or gift cards from these people
would have been a little more useful for sure.
Instead of like a whole nother wardrobe that guess what you're going to need? Right. Another dresser to put all these clothes in.
I was just laughing because we had already bought the dresser and for the baby room and put the dresser together. And we had already gone through because we have bins of old baby clothes, right? That we're like going through and it's like, oh, let's keep this one. Let's throw that one away. Like we've already gone through that process. And I'm pretty sure before yesterday, the dresser was already like 87% full. Because we had that many left over baby
clothes.
So
did you guys not put any qualifiers on gifts?
There were no clothes on the list whatsoever. So we had a baby registry. The wife did a great job of just mostly practical things that we could use, that we need, that, you know, these are going to come in very handy. There were not a lot of clothing items on there, to my knowledge. And so that was just people shooting from the hip. We're going to buy you a lot of baby clothes.
So people
clothes.
Going off the registry.
Off the registry.
Not cash.
Going
not
to a
cars.
Baby clothes so store and just, wow. Ooh, this looks like a cute outfit. Let's bring this
so
one
the
in.
The question becomes. How many of these people are significant enough where you've got to keep that outfit around for when they come to visit?
That is a great follow-up question.
Do you have to put the new baby in the
outfit? Are these like aunts and uncles and grandparents?
That's a great question.
Oh, he's not going to reveal
something. I'm not going to name the names.
You don't have to name names.
Names will not be named.
Are they close?
But don't worry. When we went through the first thing we did, we got home, put Teddy down for a nap.
But did you and the wife have to go through and go, okay, this
let's
is
hold on to this one.
Aunt so-and-so or
they might
my
want to
sister or whatever. Yep,
that's exactly what we did. There were about three individuals who bought things, not a lot. Some of them just like one shirt here or there. They were like, let's hold on to that one just in case somebody asks about that. Because that's, or, you know, some of them you're like, there was a big brother, little brother shirt that matched. You're like, okay, that'd be kind of cute. We can hold on to that. I'm all right with that. It's mainly the big outfits and the pants and all that stuff that comes with
oh,
it.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, exactly. I would say about three or four of the individuals we made sure to just set it aside just in case. Save a spot in the dresser for it.
Because you know when they
show up for Thanksgiving or Christmas. Put it over in that pile.
Exactly.
Nope, we're not going to wear that one. That one's not going to happen. Nope, we'll return that one for some cash.
Because you'll get asked about it if they show up.
Exactly. You got to be careful with
Where's
that.
Where's the cute little thing?
Remember that thing I bought him? Is he going to wear that for Christmas this year? No. No, he's not.
I'm going to put that as our first poll question. What's your attitude starting your Monday? Yay or nay?
Yay or is it a yay or nay? Yeah, it's a nay. Put it in the nay pile. That'll go over there. Yeah, throw that one back in the bag. We're not going to... Don't take the tags off that one. That one's not going to get worn.
I think you realize this beforehand, but I think it really, really reveals itself in these moments. I may have even said this to you on or off the air. I don't remember. But as you go on with this... And the closer you creep in with getting a second kid in your life.
Yes, we're almost there. It made it feel very real this weekend. When you have the baby shower, you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, you look at the calendar, buddy, and
it's almost go time here, man.
You'll be leaving the show here soon.
It's a month.
Almost go time.
Could be a month out.
About a month out.
Very well could be, yeah.
You have realized now fully, if you hadn't already, and you probably had, but you've realized fully, even before seeing this child, how number two unfortunately suffers in many ways.
Without a doubt,
of like,
dude.
I love you equally,
yes.
But I don't want to do a lot of what I did last time.
No.
And don't take what I did last time as a barometer that I love him more.
Yes. It's not that. Yeah, it's 100% spot on. Also, just the reality of like how many things you end up getting at your first baby shower. We were joking about this yesterday, that you never end up using or taking out of the box. And it's overwhelming because at the time when you're having your first kid, you have no idea, right? Am I going to need this? Am I not? Like a good example of this. Did you ever use a bottle warmer for your kids?
I think we had. I want to say yeah, but
okay.
I think we morphed. I think my wife hates when I don't remember stuff like this.
Right. I mean, it was a long time ago. Now,
I want to say we kind of did the old school boiling pot of water.
And put the bottle in the hot water for a second or something.
Yeah. Just, or microwave. I don't remember.
So this is one. These are one of the things. Now, maybe kid number two is different. I have no idea. But that's one of those like, yeah, you got to have a bottle warmer in case the kid wants warm. We never once warmed a bottle for Teddy. His entire, for the however long we're doing overnight feeds and all that. Never once. He'd take the cold bottle and he'd be perfectly fine with
it.
Yeah,
maybe I didn't even warm up the bottle. It was more just like make sure.
Like some kids, I guess, want more warm milk, so maybe number two is that way, and we're going to need it. But it's little things like that that you don't realize when you're opening the first time around at the baby shower. You're like, oh, thank you. This is very useful. Mm-hmm. And then it just sits on a counter for like 8 months, and you realize, wait a minute, we haven't touched that thing for 8 months. Let's go ahead and put it in another box. So you know what you need the second time around. It's also the idea of when you open things, the cluttering just piles, and you're just like, God, now I got to find a place for that. God, I got to, where's that going to go?
Yeah.
How many times are we going to play with that? Now, everybody was very nice because people brought, because Teddy Ballgame was there. He was the star of the show. Everybody wanted to see Teddy. He's running around. He's having a great time.
Yeah.
Opening up gifts. Some people brought him gifts yesterday, too, so that was great. So he had little things to open and play with. So that was wonderful. But for baby stuff, there's a lot of it. You're just like, we didn't use that last time. We don't need that this time.
Well, yeah.
And now it's just going to hold a space in a cupboard until we get rid of it.
You learn a lot from the first kid, and you learn, like, okay, this was kind of overrated. This was absolutely useless.
Right.
You're going to have to always, as you go, try to keep up. Otherwise, they're both 6 and 8, and you're like, we're buried in stuff.
Why do we have so much stuff?
I'm wasting every weekend of my life getting rid of stuff.
Every weekend's a spring cleaning.
The important thing, and I think this will be easy for you guys, so our kids are 4 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little shy of 4.5, actually.
Okay.
Because one was unexpected, one was more planned,
sure.
One we were really poor, one we were like, all right, we can make a living.
I think we can have another kid.
Right, yeah. We can afford it.
Hey, we can do it.
Your kids, because they're closer in age, you always have to think about, like, Teddy Ballgame's going to love this kid, but also there's going to be a little like, yo, look at me too.
Yeah.
Look at me.
What about me?
Now he's got a little animosity towards this kid.
Nobody's paying attention to me anymore.
Whereas I think he's at a fun age for you. Because I think you lean more me of like, babies kind of suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You want them to be healthy, but babies suck.
Yeah.
So you get to go to the park and let Teddy hit some balls.
Dude,
and
it's fantastic.
Catch fly balls or throw the football while mom gets to lay and relax with the baby and let him sleep. You know what I mean?
Right. The idea of parenting now for a 2.5-year-old, going to be 3 in January, is so much more enjoyable than it was 2 years ago. It's not even a debate, man.
It's not.
I remember when I found out that we were having the second kid, we were in the midst of one of those like, he's throwing tantrums, we're not sleeping. And I remember there was a brief moment of like, oh God, here we go again. And now the Teddy's to the point where he's at. It's like, I can't wait to do this. We just got to crawl through the Shawshank Redemption tunnel of poo in order to get there. Because once they get to this age, there's some slight, you know, not listening or talking back. There's constant haggling. Like, there's little things that come with having a 2.5-year-old. But, man, it is not even close to the joy level of being a parent for a kid who you can communicate with and talk with, who has a personality. They giggle. They laugh. They love to play games. Like, it's night and day, man. Night and day.
The baby propaganda is out of control,
dude.
It's out of control. You really only, you just love to snuggle and you love to smell the inside of their mouth.
Yes.
That's the only benefit babies give you. They wake you up. They ruin your sleep. They crap in their pants.
Constant dumping.
They can't talk.
No, there's nothing there.
You know, when they start to show personality at the end of the first year, you start to go, okay, here we go.
Gives you a little smile every now and then.
Dude, those first X amount of months are just so overrated. I hate to say it. I love my kids. I love being a father, but I just...
I know. It's on the horizon for me, man. On the horizon for me. You got to get through that. It will be nice, though, knowing, like, when we get through phases this time of, like, okay, I don't have to do that again. That makes me feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, once you get through a certain, like, all right, we're not doing feeds every 2 hours, for example. Like, I got to wake up at 10, 12, 2, and 4. And then you're like, hey, I don't have to do that again because this will be the last one. So that'll be an encouraging thought as we go through every major milestone.
I had a real realization this weekend. I snuck in a golf round.
Yes,
on
you
Sunday.
Did. I was jealous of you last night,
dude.
Glendevere?
Glendo East.
Yep.
Nice.
Shot
I could
in the
recognize.
80s.
Hey,
beautiful.
There you go. Look at that. Well done.
I'll say this: this is not Glendo's fault. I will always play at Glendo East. A little bit of hard pan in spots that I'm like, it shouldn't be hard pan here, but I get it. Water droughts, all that stuff. Conserve your water.
That time of year. It's been dry out for a bit.
Hit good punch shots. You get rollouts, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this because my buddy I was golfing with was asking, like, hey, dude, Dirt's about to have the same kid. I go, I know. He's going to miss football season. And he chastised a baseball player once for missing playoff games.
Daniel Murphy. Time your kid. What the hell's the matter with you?
Postseason. He was just asking about how you have the second kid, how ready for everything you are. And it really, really hit me, like truly hit me. It's funny how separated in life we are. You are literally about to have a second child. My oldest is about to enter high school.
High school.
And I, like, that gap, I knew it existed, but it, like, hit my brain in a way that was
right.
like,
Whoa.
And I was out last weekend having beers with my son
yes,
at a bar.
Were. You're drinking yeah. with your son. You're about to be a grandfather, man.
That's not happening anytime soon.
Hey, you never know. You never have to say it. You never know.
Look, he has to deal with
planned,
the age
unplanned.
Jokes.
You never know.
The day he announces he's a grandfather, it's over for old balls over there.
It's going to be a tough one over there. It's going to be hard to overcome.
Yeah, he'll be excited about it, but that's going to be a tough one on the show's purposes. But never in my life had
I
realized.
I would say, if that news comes in the near future, it is a massive surprise.
Yeah, shocking.
Probably
upset.
A massive surprise to my son as well.
Welcome to the massive surprise club, bud. It happens.
It can happen, man. That's all I'm saying. It can happen.
The goalie didn't stop the shot.
I did have that. I had the same thought last night because it's funny. A neighbor's trying to play golf with me this week, and we got an ultrasound that day, and so it's like not going to work. But I appreciate the invites when I get them.
Yeah.
And I did have that same thought as you texted a picture of you on whatever hole you were on.
17, baby.
On 17, coming home, twilight round of golf. I'm looking through the fair. I'm looking, like, zooming in on the picture of, like, yep, I know what course that is. I think I know what hole that is.
I love being able to identify
yes,
our local munis.
You see it immediately, yes. And then I'm like, I'm unpacking a nursery right now. This is great. I'm having a great time. It's so much fun.
The funniest thing was oldest was at home, like, doing things in her room, getting ready for high school, because, you know, she's a couple weeks away, and my youngest is having a sleepover, neither even care
where you are,
they
what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're
nothing.
Not needed in any way, shape, or form.
I'm living. Yeah. I'm going to be busy here in the next couple weeks. But
yes, school and practice. Like, that's where it comes on the other side of it.
The empty nest life of like, I can just go do this and nobody will be really impacted by it.
Wait till the oldest gets her driver's license too.
We have to. Well, I got her the DMV
permit
book.
Time. You
got
to get.
She wants to get her permit right when she turns 15.
That's
in
the way
January.
You should do it. Yeah, get it right out of the gate.
And I think, and I look, my wife can ridicule a lot of things about me. I think because of the difference of driver in the house, I have to be the one.
You're the one that does it.
Yeah, I think so.
You take it to a parking lot, figure it out.
That's what I told her. Yeah. I said, we'll just start in empty school parking lots. No, no worries.
Go on the weekend when nobody's there. It's wide open. Go park. Go pull out. Do the things you need to do.
It's going to be very tough to manage the anxiety levels of, oh my God, curbed my car.
No.
I took my buddy who I golfed with yesterday, his kid, when he was getting his permit. I took him in my last car. Just showed up. He got his permit. I said, let's go, dude.
Let's go drive.
And I took him with my friend to our school parking lot, and it was completely empty. And the amount of, like, oh, my God, stop.
In an empty parking lot.
In an empty parking
There's
lot.
There's nothing to even hit. There's no cars here.
Yeah, but it was, like, the widest of turn.
Keep
and
going.
My buddy's just laughing in the back, and I'm like, oh, my God, what is happening right now?
How did I get to this stage in life? Well, that was me. I was the one driving the car. My mom was yelling at me.
He's a good driver now.
Now it's the other way around. Yeah. School of Hard Knocks. Can we talk about your lumberjack content yet?
We can.
Your hot dad lumberjack content, cutting some wood this weekend?
I should have known somebody was going to make actual online content about that. That was...
Yeah, we get the fence in. The fence is all done.
Dude, the fence is done. My buddy John came over. So he was supposed to come over today or Tuesday, just depending on the day.
Right.
This dude is a maniac, by the way. A behemoth of a human. We had to take it down Thursday night. And I think I mentioned it on Friday's program of the
sections.
You're
worried some of the dogs are going to run into your backyard because they weren't answering their door.
I mean, we're talking 80 to 120 pound sections of wood fencing that's half falling off. And he's just nonchalantly grabbing it one-armed, putting it over his shoulder. And he's like, here, take it. And I'm like,
Trying to hold it over your head.
So when we had to do the fence, so the worst part of building a fence, have you built a fence?
Not every step of the way, but I've helped build a fence before. It's a pain in the ass.
I don't even know where to begin of how much I loathe fence posts.
Yeah.
Wow.
Getting them down there, getting the concrete in, making sure they're level, lined up where they need to be.
We have... hard clay, rock, root ground. We don't have nice, grassy, mulchy dirt. It's like, so we're digging with these like scoopers.
Yeah,
these
I know the tool you're talking about. Put it in.
It's a weird thing.
The post hole digger.
The post digger. You dig it in, and then you got to open it to scoop the dirt, and then lift it out without dropping the dirt.
Yeah. Right.
We're getting maybe 4 inches after like 80 different.
Feels like
you're
just jamming it into concrete.
So we're just like, we have to go rent an auger.
Yeah.
So we run to a Home Depot. We get an auger with an 8 and 6 inch bit. I had never used this machine. It's a two-man one. The whole weekend. We have four gentlemen, all big people, sitting on this machine just to dig down
far enough to where you need to get the pose.
Just a pain in my ever-loving ass. Just unbelievably, my hands were like...
Yeah. You feel the reverberation even when you're... Long after you're done, you're like sitting there at dinner and you can still feel your arm shaking while you're trying to eat some food.
The worst was Saturday. We had one more hole to dig and then we were going to start laying the boards, which is just basically just quick, right?
Yeah.
We have to dig one hole and it's by two trees and there's nothing but root.
Oh, no.
And I'm with just him. It's just me and him in the morning, Saturday morning.
Let's go.
And he's like, let's do this. And he doesn't drink coffee, but he looks like he's absolutely angry at the world. So it takes him about an hour to wake up.
Yeah.
And again, he's like 6'4".
He's looked like a big
270.
Guy. According to the Instagram content, looked like a large human being.
What's the guy in Harry Potter?
Oh, Hagrid?
He looks like Hagrid.
Yeah.
But bald.
Right.
And, you know, I don't. So then it's me and him on the auger. I'm on the gas part. It's like a motorcycle. We're digging down, and I'm looking at him waiting to say stop because there's nothing but root. And he's just looking at me, and he's just like, keep going. And I'm now, he's like adjusting me. He sits his fat ass on the machine.
Put a little extra pressure and weight on that thing.
And guess what's happening? It's kicking at me, and now I'm going into a tree. And I'm like holding the gas. I'm like, God, just hold it. Just do And he's just like looking at me sitting on it, and it's just like vibrating. He's like riding a horsey.
Somebody needs a jiff.
And I'm in here, I'm just like gassing, like, aah! Hoping I don't die into this tree.
We need some drops and some jiffs.
It's ridiculous.
You get those holes dug? You get the post in?
We got it in.
Yeah, you got it in.
I hated it. I mean, but I'll say this. I hated that part.
Once you're done with it, how good does that feel?
Oh, dude.
Like walking out, looking in your backyard, and you're like, yes. I don't have to worry about this thing falling over. My dog's not running away.
It's glorious.
I got good privacy again.
I didn't do a good neighbor fence, and that's a debatable thing.
Ooh.
We have a money situation looming.
Ooh.
We lost our lizard in the process of this, by
lizard,
the way.
I did see the lizard escape this weekend.
For like a whole day.
Couldn't find that bastard.
Found it under a deck next to a raccoon skull.
Oh, hey.
What an experience I had. What a weekend.
Hell of a weekend for the Sprague household, man.
Yeah. It's great, though. When you see a finished fence that you helped build.
God, dude.
There's not a better feeling in the world.
If you think like pressure washing is a good feeling, it certainly is. When you walk out and you're like, look at that driveway. It's clean. Not a spot there. Nothing. The fence build, nothing compares to that.
He came over yesterday. I was golfing. He texted me and my wife, hey, I'm finishing the gate. Because we had one little gate to
little
do.
Small section, yeah.
And, you know, it's still an hour of time.
Yeah.
And he went to the coast to do more hard manual labor.
Came back to come finish your gate.
And he just did it, and I felt terrible. I wasn't home. I was...
You're sweating over a 7-iron.
14, dude. What do you want me to do? I'm trying to break 90 here.
I got a birdie putt here, but thanks for finishing my gate,
dude,
man.
We're dancing in the low 80s right now, bud. I don't know what you want me to do. I can't abandon this round. But he got it done. It's all the way finished. Now we got to stain the deck or stain the fence.
Got to make sure you stain it so the wood lasts a long time.
We'll do it after Hood to Coast, and it's great. There's not a better feeling in the world than being able to do something like that. I never thought I'd build my own fence
to accomplish it and get it all done.
God, it's such a good feeling.
Look
dude.
At you guys over there. Hell of a weekend.
Hell of a weekend for both of us.
Hell of a weekend.
Well, we got a lot to get to on the old sports gambit. A lot of non-important football things. Swag watched the whole Seahawk game.
Some people sucked this weekend. That's a little bit alarming.
I want to talk about that today. Well, depending on who you're talking about, because that could go for, I guess, for a couple
different
people.
Could go for a lot of different ways.
But somebody booed. We got college football beginning this weekend. Loaded show. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Monday morning, August the 24th. You know, final thing I would say, too, is, like, the feeling of accomplishing something that you hate doing is quite the feat.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you can't match that feeling.
That's a pain in the ass. It's brutal to get through. It's also really nice to have people who help you, who push through the lulls and the moments where you don't want to keep going. Because anytime I do a house project, I certainly have that. After like 4 hours, you're like, dude, can we just be done for a little bit? I'm ready for a break. And if you're working with somebody like you were, and I have people like that in my life, it's like, thank God that they're there.
Yeah.
Because I would be the guy who would be like, all right, that's it for the day. Let's pack it up. I want to really, we'll do some more tomorrow. And the project would take like 3 weeks in order to finish. And instead, you got a horrible weekend, right? It's you know, sun up to sundown, basically. But then you're done, and it's all over, and I don't have to worry about it
anymore. See, that was the thing that was interesting, is like, I dread doing the work, but once we start, I'm like...
enjoying it?
Well, I'm not...
getting some sweat on?
I'm in.
Makes you feel like you're accomplishing something?
Well, yeah, because you could start to see, when the posts were finally set and we'd gotten through everything, right. It was like, oh.
Boards start going up, you're like, dude, we're a quarter away done, let's keep going.
I had to return that auger, and when I came back, he just started on the boards. Yeah. I had a huge section, I'm like, whoa, I have a fence.
Look at that. One side is now blocked off.
And it was just like, you're right to have somebody there that knows what they're doing. And then, like, one of his childhood best friends randomly showed up to help Friday, which was huge.
Just popping over, let's build a fence.
My brother-in-law showed up both days.
Right.
Huge. And then my neighbor behind that has the dogs that I hadn't met.
Oh.
My wife we'd gone around to the houses that needed to help pitch in. He just showed up Friday, unsolicited, introduced himself, and
really?
Then said, let me know how much it costs. Like, do you guys want help? He had skipped out on work, so he had nothing to do.
That ends up being a nice little pleasant surprise there. From what you thought those neighbors could be to somebody helping out with the fence.
I didn't know what they would be.
This is fantastic.
But he showed up with his golf cart and beer and provided a lot of...
just cruising around the neighborhood in a golf cart.
He's got a huge lifted golf cart that he got for free from work, and he put big tires on it, and he showed it because right around the corner.
It's going to pop over.
And he just kept offering beer to everybody that wanted beer.
I mean, that's a handy guy to have when you're building the fence, and it's a little hot out, little toasty, and you're like, yeah, you know what? Let's take a break. I have a cold one right now.
It was very nice. And then we found out late last night one of our neighbors is going to help, and that's a big section of the fence they're financially going to help with.
Sure.
I still have to hit him up, but he said he was fine to help. But people are now saying, if you have a neighbor that owes you a few hundred dollars of a fence, do you reach out to them to get the money, or because they helped you an entire day? So my friends were basically saying, you should just not.
Let it go because they came over and helped put the thing up.
But my thought is, I got all the supplies.
Yeah, they're still getting the best. One day at work is very helpful. You also worked the entire weekend, and they are getting a free fence out of it if they don't pay anything.
It's about 18 feet of fence.
That's a good size right there.
And it's kind of blocked, so he can't actually see much of it.
Right.
But it's still 18 feet of fence.
Yeah, if they're offering to help, I would follow back up with the hard part would be, like, how many times do you do it until you stop if they don't pay you? Like, how persistent will you be in that regard? Like, how many texts are you going to send before you're like, all right, that clearly's not going to happen?
Probably not very many. I'm not like that.
It's really easy for people to be like, oh yeah, sure, I'll help out, and then push comes to shove and you send like a Venmo request for $400
and it never
shows up
unanswered.
Like, do I text him again? Do I remind him again? Like, I'm with you. I'd probably do it once, like maybe one more time, like, hey, just quick follow up if you want to help out for the fence, we'd love to have your help. And then you kind of got to let it go. I don't think a day of labor though gives you a free fence. I don't think that's the trade-off.
Well, to be fair, he wasn't trying to suggest.
No.
He said he offered his labor and to hit him up for the fence,
which
cost.
Is what you should do as
That's
a good neighbor, man. Like, if I had a neighbor that called and said, "Hey, we're putting up a fence along your property line. Do you?" I would offer both. Like, hey, what's it going to take? I'm not paying for the whole thing, obviously, but I'll pay for my section. And then, yeah, you need some help? Like, we're around this weekend. We got nothing going on. I'll bring a nail gun over. Let's do this thing.
Well, and so another big section of the fence is a neighbor directly behind us. The wife talks to her, and the lady goes, "I wish you would have told me about this sooner. I don't have the money."
Oh.
I was like, okay, that's kind of fair. We did wait very last minute to let you know.
Yeah. Does talking to her sooner, though, help her with the money
she
problem?
She says she wouldn't have spent some of the money.
Ah, okay.
So we calculated her total, and her total, again, it's a decent section, but for what we're asking her to pay.
Right, because you're not asking for the whole thing.
It's not even a grand.
Yeah.
Right? And I get everybody's different financially. We're not all sitting in the same spots here.
Sure.
But it's a few hundred dollars. It's not like close to a grand. It's a few hundred. And so our thought is, like, what if we go to her with a little less than even that? Is she just not going to pay anything?
Right. $100. Is that acceptable? Is that too much to ask for?
That's a huge discount for the amount of fence we're sharing.
Right. That's a massive discount.
And we did all the work.
Yeah. And that person's getting a free fence out
of
this
deal. And she was on the hard tree line root area that we were, you know, working our butts off on.
You're over there with your jackhammer all week trying to get that thing in the ground.
Have you ever run an auger?
I've never run an auger before, no.
Have you, Swag, ever run an auger? Hey, you're Lake
what
Oswego.
A youth.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
A youth.
Lake Oswego, it's all cement. We don't do that.
I love the facial reaction. Are you kidding me? Look at me. Do I look?
Well, that was more
as
about
I'm wearing
my
relaxed my
brother
unbuttoned
came
polo
up
this
the,
morning. No, I have not run.
My brother's run every single piece of equipment. He worked in landscape and all that stuff. So yeah.
Oh, dude, that was my first experience at.
Jeez, oh Pete.
But yeah, me. Come on,
dude. It's a full body vibrator, is how I would describe it. Like the entire. You're just on for the ride, and if you enjoy it, you enjoy it.
Hold on for dear life, man. Don't let that thing go. Keep cranking that gas.
But yeah. Yeah, I just kind of think, like, I'm not going to press you for it, but, like, also, if we give you a $300 type of bill.
It also, the idea of I don't have the money right now.
We told her we'd do payments.
Yeah, like,
if
so you're never going to have.
$50 installments, whatever, like, just chip in for this.
We're not going to have the money 4 months from now? We're not going to have the money a year from now? What about when your tax return hits, huh? You getting a tax return this year? Do you have any kids?
I don't know.
I know you're bringing some cash home from the government. And at that point, can I get my couple hundred dollars?
I don't know.
I just, there's an idea here of if the fence is in bad enough shape, you would wish that every neighbor would be in unison of like, let's do this together. That would be the perfect world of like, let's split it, right? And then you don't have to worry about what side's facing what. You give everybody a good look inside of the fence if you need to and all that kind of stuff. Not paying for a fence would make me feel so incredibly guilty.
Like
if I had a neighbor that called and was like, hey, we're putting this in, and you gave them that, no, I'm not going to help pay, and then you're watching them work all weekend, you're watching the fence go up, you're watching them tear the other one down, you walk out into your backyard this morning as you're sipping your coffee, and you're like, I got a new fence up, and I didn't pay a dime for it, I couldn't sleep at night. It would make me feel too guilty.
I tend to agree with you, yes.
Even if you didn't have the funds right away, like we've all been in tough financial spots of like, I can't afford all this. Like, hey, how about I give you $50 a month until we're paid off here? I could afford that, right? And then you just add it up, and here you go. I'll Venmo you $50 at the first of every month, and then by the time we get to whatever month, it'll be fully paid off.
You know, the other thing I'd say, too, finally on this is like, no matter what point, like I hate dry hands, and I had to lay a lot of dry concrete that we would harden. So it's getting all over me, dirt. I always have to have like some moisture. I get my hands wet. It's why I'm a soy boy.
You got to go sanitize after that, put some lotion on.
I hate those things, but like the actual endeavor of being in the moment, as miserable as it might be in the heat, you're also like, there's a weird camaraderie you're sharing with people.
It's like a team bonding experience.
We're all going through the crap. It's why I love Hood to Coast, to be honest. We all hurt. We're all sore. We're all miserable. We don't want to run that final leg.
Right, but you encourage each other. You get through it together. You have some jokes.
You high-five each other when you finish.
Yeah, a little levity here or there to kind of keep everybody in a good mood.
Exactly. There is something to be said about being out in the S with other people, getting something big done like that.
You're in the fire, man.
I also broke my water main. That was great.
Oops.
Yeah, turns out the auger went a little too in the wrong spot and a little too deep because my brother-in-law was like,
cut it!
I couldn't hear. I'm just like on the gas throttle. Like I look up and I look down. Water is pouring from the bottom up. We pull it out. It's just filling. We had to run to the street, turn my water off.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
But when you have a John...
He knows what to do.
He fixed that pipe within an hour. My water was right back on.
How about that?
I didn't know what to do.
Dude, this guy's a superhero, man.
Superhero.
We need more Johns in our lives.
But like when you have a big friend named John, you got to give him a cape, but it's got to be a comically tiny cape.
Yeah,
that
a little
would go
baby
on, like,
cape.
Teddy ball game.
Yeah, a little tiny 2-year-old cape. Yeah. It just goes basically past his high upper back,
exactly.
About halfway down.
Exactly. And then he can spin it around and it's a bib when he eats.
Yeah, it'd be perfect for his beard. That's what you need. So quite the experience this weekend. NFL happened this weekend.
The NFL did happen, man. Week 2 of the preseason. Did we watch a lot of football this weekend?
No.
I did see Bo's. Bo had a nice little
I was watching
drive.
That Friday night.
I'm starting to reconsider things, man. I want to see how the season goes. I'm probably the most stumped on that team. Not in the I don't have a take thing, but more by how people are viewing them.
Like how good.
Their over-under is 9.5, and I just can't.
It's a hard one to comprehend.
Their defense is going to be elite unless they suffer injury.
Yes, it is. They added a weapon on the outside, and they've had good quarterback play the last 2 years. He has not gone through one of these. Like, we've seen a lot of the other guys in that. Jaden Daniels, great year one, non-existent year two, right?
He had a slow little start for the first few games, but he got it going after that in year one.
Right.
So where's – yeah, so –
He wasn't the most efficient, but he had a good season, and they went to the AFC title game.
You have a veteran, experienced, offensive-minded coach who should be able to figure it out.
You have a good offensive line.
Yeah, what am I
missing? Can they not run the football?
Who did they draft? I always get the Hampton and the other guy mixed up in my head.
I know you're talking about.
They drafted somebody last year.
Yeah. Is it a divisional thing?
What is your Chief opinion? I don't know what to make of the Chiefs.
I don't know what to make of the Chiefs. I certainly
don't think the Raiders are going to be amazing. Genty's out now with a sprained ankle.
Yeah, they're running back
J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins. Well, there was R.J. Harvey.
They drafted R.J. Harvey.
Jonah Coleman, I think, has played pretty good for him too.
There you go. So they got a little like three-headed monster in the backfield.
Yeah, 9.5 seems low. I'm sure that. I mean, obviously, they're playing in one of the toughest divisions, if not the toughest, in the NFL.
Let me ask you this: Let's do some show research on the fly because I didn't text this to you guys about doing this. I want to go through during the break, find a bet you feel more confident in. I don't know, maybe you're not with me. You can let me know on the other side. I think that's the one for me of all the teams in the NFL, unless you want to fade some high-level, high-win team because it's too many wins.
Right.
I don't know if I feel better about making a bet on over-unders in the NFL than I do about the Denver Broncos at 9.5. I don't see it going into the season, and we're wrong all the time. I don't see how they're not at a minimum 10-7, given what we know about the weapons. We can debate Waddle, St. Brown. That's a great addition to the offense with Sutton and company.
Yep.
The offensive line, the defense, like, try to find me something during the break, a team that you feel more confident in betting over-under-wise in the National Football League. We talk about that on the other side because Bo Nix and the Broncos – who cares if they didn't win? When he played, they had a tremendous little series there, and he got a touchdown.
Yeah, nice touchdown pass early in the game.
So we could talk about that on the other side. The NFL had a lot of preseason action happen this weekend, give you some injury updates as well, and then Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague at the top of the hour. We're back with more on 105 Won the Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
Shut up over there.
The Fan.
Let the guy finish his work, man. Come on. So we pay him due.
Fence building and NFL coverage.
Penalty. False start.
On the Fan. Shut up. I'm doing
God, a read. I'm doing a read over here, man.
Fence and football coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed Xfinity. Imagine that. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. The dirty poll rolls on.
Yes, it does.
The number 10 team in the land.
We're into the top 10 today, baby.
We've teased who the guest is, but we on air will not say who it is because most of you are not on the internet like that.
Got to be on social media. I will say it's going to be a surprise. Dun, dun, dun.
I will raise my hand and tell you legitimately was shocked.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Maybe I'm into quarterbacks with high numbers. There's a tease for you.
Well, that's a whole other. I actually am going to lead the interview with that question.
Does that lead you to question their results on and off the field?
Every week.
Yep.
Every single week. Yep. So we'll get to that coming up. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. And it's football week. We got college football is here, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Let's go, baby.
We will have on this very station Saturday morning, 11:30 a.m., San Jose State at USC.
What?
How about that?
It's so good.
And I will watch a lot of it.
Yeah. You got Hood to Coast this week, right? Is this everything's going full
usually
steam ahead?
We usually got early start time. We get into the seaside area by noon.
Are you Friday?
I am out Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's my last.
No, that's okay.
Last one till Christmas. Okay?
I think
just
we can looking handle for we'll clarification on the schedule.
Well, yeah. I also have a little snafu. If our start time for the run does not change, because we're hoping to start a little earlier.
Mm.
But if it doesn't, I will be able to do maybe what I did last year.
Oh, get a phone call? Spring in line?
I'm running down Timberline the mountain. I'm running down the mountain. I start the race this year.
That'd be fantastic.
I've never done it before.
Let's go, baby.
So we'll see what happens on Friday. But we went through this. So what I'm looking for, if you're just tuning in, good morning, happy Monday. I'm looking for the what am I missing here type of vibes here, right? Because we were talking about the Broncos. Bo Nix played Series 1, looked phenomenal, scored a touchdown. Denver's humming. Okay, who cares who wins and loses in preseason? And I have not been able to rack my brain about how to feel on the Denver Broncos over-under, which is 9.5. That was a 14-3 team last year.
Can I give you some thoughts?
Absolutely, because I'm looking for the,
What am I missing?
I'm feeling the complete opposite. I would have thought that number started at minimum at 10.5.
Yeah, this goes back to our over-unders do a great job of this. When we talked to Ken Barkley about our trap traps, and it's obviously a joke, but also there's a thought here, right, of like, why is that so low? Denver has won more games than that, I believe, each of the two years under Bo Nix.
10-7 in Bo year, right? Bo's year one.
Last year, they're the number one seed in the AFC, hosting the AFC title game, and with a healthy quarterback, they go to the Super Bowl. So how is that only 9.5? My guess would be, as I went through, because you were asking, kind of looking at the schedule, and I'm looking back at last year's, because you don't remember every significant detail of it. Their record in one-score games the last 2 years has been insane.
Well, 2 years ago, it was the reverse, wasn't it? Weren't they like 2-something, and then last year they were
really
like 10-1?
Last year, I know that they were elite. I'll go back and pull
up. They were the league leader in one-score games last year.
They beat Tennessee in a one-score game. They beat Philly in a one-score game. The Jets in a one-score game. The Giants in a one-score game. The Texans in a one-score game. The Raiders, the Chiefs, the Commanders, the Raiders again, the Packers.
That's 10.
The Chiefs, and then 19-3 last week of the season against the Chargers.
So that's 11 wins in one-score games. Look up their year before. I think it was not completely the reverse, but it was the opposite. They were like 1-7 or something.
So year before, as I'm scrolling through, God, this is hard to do on the fly.
That's okay, sorry.
1-2, 1-3. Yeah, it looks like,
they were like 1-7 or something in one score games, and they completely reversed it. So to your point.
Yeah. So is there an ebb and flow here, right, of like, those are not always going to go your way. You're going to get a bounce. You're going to get a break. There's going to be some play that happens, right? Somebody fumbles, whatever the case.
Right.
That leads you to lose that game, or you miss the field goal instead of making the field goal. So there are odds and ends there. There's also the general idea of just the health of the roster last year was pretty strong. Now, you look at other teams in the AFC West, that wasn't necessarily the case, right? The Chargers didn't have an offensive line the entire year. The Chiefs lose receivers running into each other right out of the gate, and they're out for a while. And so other teams felt like dealt with some significant injuries, and maybe that's part of it. You just feel like the injury bug's going to catch up with them. Because I'm with you. On paper, when I look at 9.5, I say I'm hammering the over. I also don't really know how to feel about the division right now, because I see the criticisms of Kansas City, and I understand them. They're not the boogeyman maybe that they used to be. I'm also not to the point with Patrick Mahomes playing a quarterback to just say, whatever, easy.
Totally fair.
Like, that's still a tough win for me. The Chargers beat them head-to-head when they were healthy early in the season, and then they played the last week of the year, and I don't think the Chargers played their starters, but maybe I'm wrong on that. And the Raiders, look, Gentry got banged up this week, and we could talk about that, but it doesn't sound like it's as significant, and I think they'll be slightly improved. How much? I don't know, but I think they'll be at least a bad, feisty team, if that makes sense. And so that's the other thing that I would go to when I'm looking at over-unders is, how do I feel about the rest of the division? Because that's six of your games. Do I feel like they're all manageable? Are they all tough? This is the hard part I have with teams in the NFC West and their over-unders. Outside of the Cardinals, who are a clown show, there's no other easy wins in that division. And so your gauntlet to get there is much more challenging than it would be if you played in, per se, the NFC South.
Some pretty good ones out there. The Jags opened at 8.5.
Yeah.
And now it's up to 9.5, but same kind of thing of like looking in their division. We know the Texans are looming large.
One of my bets that I've already placed was weeks ago on the show. We were talking about Cleveland, and I'm glad I did because it's gone down. I got them at under 6.5.
We'll talk about Cleveland today.
The over-under is now at 5.5, and I'm glad I jumped on that one.
Well, yeah. Something happened this weekend, and I thought it was an absolute S-show, clown move, grifter, pathetic.
Enos Kanter?
You want to care about women? Why don't you show up to a Cleveland football game and protest Deshaun Watson being able to play in the National Football League, you clown.
Yeah, Browns fans are trying to protest that.
Yeah, they did. Good for them.
We've had enough of this stuff.
And by the way, Jimmy Haslam not cutting that Giannis check no more. You got money, bud.
Yeah.
Get him out of there. Yeah. What are you doing?
It's absolute dead money embarrassment. Either way.
But you look at the NFL and the over-under numbers. The Bears are 9.5. That's an interesting one. Like, who do you feel more confident accomplishing the over of their win totals, the Bears or the Broncos? Both are 9.5. Me too.
I would, yeah.
Because I think the Lions are going to continue to be the Lions. The Vikings might be better now with a functional quarterback.
It's the same divisional
argument.
And the
Packers could be really good.
Everybody's really good. The one that stood out to me diving through outside of the Browns under, which I got at 6.5, and maybe I'm just drinking too much Kool-Aid on this team. I'm starting to get a little worried about how in on them I am. But they would have hit their over-under based on their number that they have for this season. They would have hit it literally last year. And we've gone through their quarterback play from last year. The Vikings are 8.5.
Yeah.
They won 9 games with J.J. McCarthy at quarterback and Max Brosmer and Carson Wentz.
Brosmer throwing the worst interception I still have ever seen in my life, a pick six in that Seahawks
game. Historically speaking, that is some of the worst quarterback play we have ever seen.
And they won,
and
9.
They won 9 games.
Yeah,
and so
one.
I just have a really hard time seeing Kyler Murray being worse than that. I don't know how good or elite he will be, but I don't think he's going to be worse than that. And so that when I look at that number, I'm like, if they can hit it with J.J. McCarthy, yeah, they can hit it with Kyler Murray.
Yeah. The only number I saw was Falcons under 7.5.
That's a good one. And by the way, you know what it is now? On DraftKings, it's 4.5.
Ooh.
It opened at 7 on DraftKings, at least on Vegas Insider. It says it's 4.5.
Right now, at DraftKings Sportsbook, I'm looking here. Under 7.5 is -140. Under 6.5 is +130.
Dude, what's under 4.5?
Because is +370.
That would be worth, that juice might be worth that squeeze. Them being a 4-win team would not shock me. Bijan, Goodyear, London, eh. But like, there's a weird stench with the Falcons.
So they open at the Steelers. Who knows?
Here would be my question on Atlanta, because I'm picking up what you're putting down. Does any part of you want to see Penix in a preseason game before you place that bet?
Oh,
because Penix is going to be, if he's healthy,
he's going to be the starter.
He will be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, like, this Tua stuff to play
is fun to make fun of, but he ain't playing this year.
But the other thing is, how reliable is it that he's going to be there for 17 games?
Yeah, not reliable at all. I totally get that.
If Tua has to come in, the season's over.
The Panthers, by the way.
You see Cooper Rush this weekend, though? He was lining up.
Panthers 7.5. That's a fun little playoffs team last year. And
what did they win, 8 games last year and make the playoffs?
Because the Falcons won the last game of the season because they lost to the Bucs to win the division.
Were they 8-9 hosting a playoff game last year?
The big question mark is the Saints.
Why is that a big question mark?
How much better do we think that they will progress?
Well, the problem is the injuries they've suffered.
Kamara's injury is a big deal.
So is Jordan Dyson's.
And Dyson, yeah.
Yeah.
So they lost a couple of offensive weapons for Shuck.
I might consider fading the Ravens a little bit. I certainly love Lamar. They're over under being an 11.5.
That's a lot of wins, dude.
In a division where, like, Cleveland blows, we all know that they do, but their defense is going to be solid, and it's not an easy win for you.
Pittsburgh should be same as they've always been.
Right, which largely usually means one win against Baltimore every year,
eight,
it feels
10
like.
And, seven, right,
and if
in
Cincinnati
there
has a pulse defensively, right? Like, that's
their under's 10.5.
That's a big number.
They've gone up against Denver.
Right? That might be one where you're like, yeah, I take a, but Lamar's had a hard time staying healthy. Like, under 11.5 is, I'm rooting for Baltimore, but that's an appealing one.
Well, it's fun to have it back, even if preseason is completely meaningless. You suffer injuries, and that sucks. But it's fun to think about what these teams are going to be as we're just a couple weeks away. Loaded second hour. College football starts this weekend. The Dirty Pole rolls on. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, hour 2 on The Fan.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.